The issue of trastuzumab monotherapy also brings up what you referred to earlier, which is delayed trastuzumab monotherapy. Patients, as you said, who've gotten chemotherapy, maybe hormonal therapy in the past, and now coming in after these data have come out. How are you approaching that situation?
It's really difficult. George Sledge at the plenary session at ASCO in 2005 suggested that we ought to offer it to everybody out to 6 months. And then the first patient I saw after I got back to Los Angeles after that ASCO was presented to me by one of the fellows at UCLA. And they said, here's a patient that's got 8 positive lymph nodes and they're 8 months out from their adjuvant chemotherapy and they're HER2 amplified. So I came up with a rule that as many lymph nodes as they have, that's the number of months minimum that it should be considered in the adjuvant setting to add in Herceptin. And, I just say that only jokingly. Obviously, I don't follow that as a real rule. But consider this, Neil, that we know that Herceptin prolongs survival for established metastasis. In metastatic disease, it prolongs survival. We know it reduces the odds of relapse in early stage disease, which is micrometastatic disease, arguably, by half, and that's across many studies, when given in the adjuvant settings for early stage disease. So what are the odds that there won't be a survival benefit somewhere between those two extremes? The odds are almost zero that there wouldn't be some benefit for Herceptin somewhere in between diagnosis and metastasis. It's effective everywhere along that continuum, most likely. So I don't think there probably should be a time limit.
Yeah, your colleague Dennis Lehman talks about the two goalposts in that same manner and that same concept that you're talking about. But it also ties into what we think the residual risk of relapse is at any given point.
Right.
I mean, if you're dealing with a woman who you think is, got a residual risk of relapse of 5%, that's different. But I don't know whether we really have those kinds of data. For example, this woman with 8 positive nodes, if she came to you at 2 years or 3 or even 5 years, assuming she'd had chemotherapy, let's say she was ER negative, what would you estimate at those time points her residual risk of relapse would be?
I would estimate that it's still very high.
Would you treat her at 5 years?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I haven't faced that particular situation at 5 years. You're right. At some point, obviously, the risk would be diminished sufficiently where I wouldn't worry about it as much. But it's a continuum. There's no benchmark that I can think of biologically, past which you wouldn't consider it outright.
Well, we've really gotten sensitized to the long-term time course of recurrence because of the AI data. And at the December 2005 San Antonio meeting, there was even more data with Paul Goss presenting data on AIs and women who'd been off tamoxifen for 2 or 3 years and still seeing a big benefit. When I bring up that issue as it relates to trastuzumab, people often say, well, the HER2-positive patients relapse early.
Yeah.
But again, do you still see relapses in years 5 to 10, and can we quantify that?
I don't know that there's a large, robust data set that can give you, really hard quantitation of that risk. But in my experience, I've certainly seen late relapses that I would have predicted would be HER2-negative, but when you test them, they're actually amplified. So, I have personally seen late relapses even in HER2-positive disease. Now, the majority relapse early, you're right. But I have seen, in unusual cases, late metastatic disease.